Well, we're going to continue the series that Pastor Caleb started. In our passage of Scripture in Proverbs 4 and verse 26, the Bible says, "Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established." And I thought last week's message was a tremendous illustration of what pondering is. Just kind of worked through that. The question I ask on the screen tonight is, where do you want to go? And I want you to imagine with me, walking into a travel agency and saying to them, we have been saving for years and we finally got the money and we can't wait to get there. We want you to help us. And the lady said, I'd love to help you. Where do you want to go? I don't know. You don't have any idea? Nope. Okay, well, we need some kind of guidance because, I mean, you know, how much money do you have? I don't know. We've just been saving for years. Now, you would look at someone like that and say, yeah, that's kind of crazy. The truth is, what if you knew the end before you ever started? Would it make a difference to you? I mean, if you knew the end, like for instance, if you knew automatically what was behind the four black squares on the white screen up there, and you could pick two of them, but you already knew what was behind the squares, would you have a little more confidence in choosing those? Yes? No? Some of you are sitting there like you don't have a clue. I would hope that you would if you knew what was behind them, right? It's kind of like those scratch-off tickets, you know. You can scratch off two things, and one of them has $25 behind it, and one of them has $5 behind it, and one of them has nothing behind it. If you already knew what was behind it, would you scratch off the one that had nothing? I hope not. Let's say that you could see all that was behind there, and the first one you chose was death. Would you choose that if you knew that that choice led to death? I would hope that you would not. Well, what if you chose the one that led to destruction? And you already knew that up front. Someone said to you, look, we got this great experience for you. You're going to get in a car, and you're going to drive to this the most incredible place on earth. About 5 hours before you get there, you're going to die in a car wreck, but it's going to be a great experience. You'd say, it's kind of crazy. Who would take that, right? Well, there's also some other squares there, the riches and honor and life. But if we already knew what was behind those, it would make a difference in our choices, right? So let's assume that this popped up. And I said to you, okay, you can pick two squares. Choose which squares you'd like to pick tonight. The fact is, I hope no one in this room would go, you know what? Death and destruction sounds like what I'd like to do tomorrow, so let's try that one. And those are somewhat frivolous examples, but the Bible gives us those paths. It makes it really clear. And yet people are choosing death and destruction. They say, well, the problem is we don't know for sure that those paths will lead to death and destruction. You don't? Because when God's word says that it's going to happen, my friend, guess what? It's going to happen. Like, well, it didn't happen the moment I stepped on the path. Well, no, it doesn't always happen that way. It's interesting, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 5, Daniel and the boys have been brought into captivity, and they tell them exactly what's going to happen. Notice this verse. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So in other words, he said, here's what's going to happen, and here's why it's going to happen. You must have an end in mind in order to get where you're going. You have to. And so many people are in a lost city. Imagine trying to navigate a place that you have no idea where you're at. One of the coolest things about our vacation recently was when we got into the city of Chicago, My GPS on my phone asked me, would you like to pick up Chicago Transit System? I clicked a button, and it picked up everything in the city. It picked up every bus line, every train line, every subway line. It literally told me, you take a right at this corner, and so many feet will be a blue line. You get on blue line 176, and it'll take you to red line. Done it. I mean, we literally navigated the city as if we had lived there our whole lives. It was incredible. I thought, what would we have done without a GPS years ago? You carry this big old honking map around underneath your arm, you know, whatever. You couldn't even, I mean, you got to flip, you know, let's see. X7. Where's X7? X7, X7, X7. You flip through X7, X7. I think we're right here. We want to go to Wrigley Field. That's F4. All right, flip this back. I mean, those of you that are laughing have known you've read maps like that before, right? So the point is, if you want to go somewhere, you have to plan to get there. You have to scope out the route. Now, I'm going to admit something that I hadn't even admitted to him yet. Pastor Brew was convinced that I didn't need to go through Chicago. And he drew me this whole process to go into way up and around and then to discount. I didn't do it. He's looking at me. Yeah, exactly. It's the first time I've told him I didn't do it. I looked at all the maps and I thought, he's crazy. No, I didn't really say that. I thought, let's see, I will be in Chicago by this time and by this time. And I thought, I don't think I'm going to hit traffic in Chicago. I think I can skirt around it and it'll save me loads of time than go way out here into Bloomington and way up and take some pig trails through Wisconsin and so forth and so on. And you're like, all of you are smiling at me, right? I didn't hit Chicago traffic. I bust through there like nobody's business. It was great. This man doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah, it cost me almost $20 before it was all said and done. But your route, I'm sure, would have cost me $40 in gas. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. The fact is, you had to make some choices, right? Interesting, coming back into the city, Ben and Becca and our vehicle were separate because they were going back to Wisconsin. We chose to go around the city and into Midway, which is middle of Chicago, not the O'Hare Airport, but the Midway Airport. They chose to go downtown Chicago to Midway. They were ahead of us by about 20 minutes. We relaxed in the motel for an hour before they got there. My point in all that is this. The choices that you make a difference. So the question is, where do you want to go? And let's look at just a couple of things. Certainly, this is not an exhaustive study, but it gives us some pretty good things, okay? So the first thing, as we've already been talking about, is consider the end of the path. In other words, doesn't it make sense that if I'm going to go somewhere, I need to know where this path is going to take me? In other words, I need to see, okay, what is the end going to be like? Proverbs 25 and verse 8, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. In other words, might want to figure out what you're going to do before you pick a fight. It may not be helpful for you. The Bible tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Proverbs 13 and verse 15 says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. In other words, as I'm choosing where I want to go, I'd like to know where the end of that is. I'd like to know, is this going to end up here? Is this going to end up here? Is this going to end up, where is it going to end up? Some of you probably followed the news in the last month, I think it has been. It may have been a little bit longer than that. A lady, not paying a lick of attention to where she was going, just listening to her GPS, never looked at it, nothing, drove in a lake. I'm talking drove in a lake. You're like, how do you do that? You don't pay attention to what you're doing. You're just GPS turn left. Oh, I must turn left. I mean, she drove all the way in it. You might want to know where this route's going to end up. And it's true for us in life too. What's the end of this path? And what's happening to us in the process? So consider the end of the path. Have you thought about where you're headed? Have you thought about where this heading is going to ultimately take you? Very important. Number two, the conductor of the path. Does it make a difference who's telling you the information? Now, the fact is, Pastor Rubaker knows a lot more about that area than I do. But he's not God, and he didn't know the routes. This little GPS on this thing is pretty awesome, because it can tell you, as you get closer to a location, it can tell you whether it's red, yellow, or solid green, or whatever. That's really kind of cool. We don't have a GPS for life per se, though. I'm going to get to our GPS, but the conductor, the person that's running it, is very important. Psalm 16 and verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In other words, God wants us to know the path that he wants us to be on. God's will is not something where God is particularly trying to deceive you about it. He wants you to know his will. Psalm 27 and verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Psalms 18 and verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in him. Psalms 32 and verse 8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. How many of you know the little chorus that goes with that song? Anybody know the chorus that goes with that song? One? You are kidding me. The Brubakers didn't know it either. That's even more shocking. that's getting gutsy. We sing it as a boy all the time. It basically follows this verse. It is a tremendous little song to teach you this thing. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I will guide thee with mine eye. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. It's a wonderful little chorus. It's based off of this verse. God's way is perfect. Psalms 86, 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. So the question is, will you allow God to be your GPS? You ever had a malfunction GPS? Anybody ever had one of those, you know? I've had one. At times it's like, I know basically where I'm at, typically. And I'll say, going left is not right. Something's wrong here, you know, and Lisa's like, how do you know that? I'm like, I'm just telling you, going left is not correct. Does that help you some? all of you are going, you're right, going left is not right. It's left. You know what? God's never made a mistake. God's never made a mistake. Well, but God led me here. God's never made a mistake. And he's not going to. I didn't say that God didn't take you down a path that you would not have chosen. There's some of those. But it's still the best path. The best path. Number three, the compass of the path. Psalms 119, 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, 133, order my steps in thy word. The word order means to direct towards or to arrange. It is a very interesting Hebrew construction. Order my steps in thy word. This is a person talking to God, and it is a command. So the human is commanding God. It's a really interesting construction how that's done there. And it's saying, order my steps in thy word. God, I want you to order me according to the word of God. That's why the Bible is so important that we spend daily time in it, because this is going to be the very compass. God is our GPS, if you will, and this is the compass that's going to guide us through these things. How often do you read the roadmap of life? How often do you check with this to recalculate, if you will? Pastor Caleb touched on this last week, but number four, the companions of the path. He mentioned, when you look around, are you okay? Are you content to be with the other people that are on this path? This is the kind of people that you'd like to be around? Proverbs 1:15 says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Proverbs 4 and verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Proverbs 4 and verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. So what path are you on? Who's the company that you're with on this particular path? Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. That, in other words, they followed the path of those people. Proverbs 2 and verse 12 says, deliver thee from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaketh forward things. So it's very clear that there are different paths. Now you can argue that you're on the right path with the wrong people, but it doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. One of the indicators of what the path that you're on is the people that you're around. Are you content with those people that are around you on this journey? And then lastly, the consequences of the path. You understand that every time you make a choice, there's consequences with it. Now, we always think of consequences as negative, but sometimes they're great. Sometimes it's like, oh, that was a good choice. Here are the consequences of that. There was a number of times we made decisions about roads, and I'm like, oh, do I want to go this way? Do I want to go that way? And, you know, those have consequences with them. Okay, is there a traffic jam on that one, or is there this, or whatever? All that can make a difference with you. And God makes some very clear things for us. I could read Scripture a lot tonight to demonstrate this, but let me give you a couple of things that God gives to us. Number one, he says there's life or death. There is a way which seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That chart I started at the beginning, death is an end choice. That's one of the things he says, okay, if you're going to follow this way, that's the object of it. That's where it's headed. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 2 and verse 18, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. Pretty clear what God's saying there. Proverbs 5 and verse 5, her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Proverbs 7:27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Proverbs 11 and verse 19, as righteous tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. It sounds pretty clear that God is saying there is a way that ends in death, doesn't he? Pretty clear. Jeremiah 21 and verse 8 says, and unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Okay? So if we go back to this chart and you have to choose two spots and God reveals to you this one is life and this one's death, which are you going to choose? Now, there's not only life or death, but there's also blessing and cursing. Blessing or cursing, I should say. Deuteronomy 11:26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. That just makes sense. It's interesting, multiple times God refers to the way Christians, that way or this way, over and over again in the New Testament, particularly. The way which they call heresy. So I worship the God of my fathers, Paul says. Blessing or cursing? Which way are we going to go? Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord, Psalms 119 and verse 1 says. There's also light or darkness. Proverbs 4 and verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at all what they stumble. Again, do you rather walk through a house with all the lights off or with the lights on? I can tell you, it's not good to walk in a house without the lights on. Somebody's getting hurt, probably, you know. Especially when somebody moves the couch or the end table or whatever, you know. It's like, oh, I didn't realize it was there. Not that ladies ever move furniture. There's also strength or destruction. Proverbs 10, verse 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. When you look at all these, and God is using all these as the same basic idea, would you like to be filled with life, blessing, light, and strength, or would you like death, cursing, darkness, and destruction? Those are the two choices that you have. And Moses says to the children of Israel, choose life. The fact is, the choice is yours. So, are you really thinking about your destination? You see people and meet people all the time who say, yeah, I'll worry about that later. When's later? Do you know that you have later? I spoke today to the Camp Barnabas teenage guys, some of them anyway, and I said to them, people younger than you died. They're 12 to 17 years old in that classroom. There are people younger than them that died. Matter of fact, you probably could make a pretty strong argument, I would guess, that people younger than them died today. All over the world. You plan on dying tonight? I mean, most of us don't plan on dying. Is it a possibility? Sure it is. There is all kinds of ways that that can happen. I mean, it's amazing that I was just reading an article about a pastor who owned a shop, and I don't think he was a pastor. I think he worked in a church in Gastonia, riding his motorcycle on the Blue Ridge Parkway. Lightning hit him, killed him, boom, right on the spot. Left two guys standing beside him, didn't touch. Matter of fact, they said there was no lightning in the area. Well, apparently there was. My point is, it can come immediately. We don't know what the end is, but God does. That's why he says to us, choose life. So what are you doing right now to get where you want to be? Because you're making choices right now for where you're going to end up in eternity. And those choices are huge. They not just your choice of salvation, though I certainly hope you've made that choice, but the daily choices that you make that will determine rewards in heaven, all kinds of things that's there. Those are important choices for us. So this pathway, where do I want to go? Very, very critical for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that we can get from it and that you give us some clear direction. It's always a blessing to us. So, Lord, we pray that you'd help us now to honor you in the choices that we make day by day. We love you. In Christ's name we pray.